Message today. Many times our focus as Christians is about God Himself being Almighty, about Jesus being the Savior and the Lord, about the Holy Spirit's inner work that He does in us and through us. But we maybe don't really talk much about angels. And so this subject to me is really important. But before we actually begin the message, I have an audio that I'm going to play. And it's something that when my children were young, I taught them about angels. And therefore, I think even before my son was old enough to hear it, he actually had moments with angels. And I have seen angels. It's not that you want to go around asking to see an angel, but I do believe the more you understand the work of God's angels that were sent for each one of us, each one of us have a ministering spirit that has been given assignment over us. And I will prove that in the scriptures a little bit later. But years ago, Amy Grant was very popular, and she had written a song about angels, but she also had a video. If you want to see the video, I can send it to you later, but I'm just going to have you listen to the song. In the video, she's around a bunch of children in a classroom, and she's singing the story about angels. And then it shows a video of, you know, near misses of a car accident with her and all these things that I think many times we take lightly. We may go, whew, you know, thank God that didn't happen, but we may not really understand what was really going on in the realm of the spirit. So I'm going to play this song and let you benefit from the words.
Thank you.
Powerful song, isn't it? I don't know what year that was, many years ago. But if we don't understand this, we can be left actually more vulnerable. But when you understand this truth about angels watching over you, it can give you comfort when he sends you into certain assignments that may appear scary to the natural man. But when you know you're being sent, like people have asked in some of the places I've been, aren't you afraid? Or like Rich, aren't you afraid? But as we know from Rich's story, you know, that he learned as a young man, a young officer, that he had an angel. And I think that may have helped. Maybe you can share it later, Rich. It probably helped bring some inner confidence when you understand, as even our forefathers said in the scriptures, you know, open their eyes because there's more with us than against us. And there aren't just a few angels here and there. They're the heavenly host. We don't know when the third that fell how many a third was. So if there's two-thirds of God's angels that are still working, we have angels more than we realize. But I believe the thing that God wants to bring up today is to help you to make sure your angels are always activated. And a lot of people don't realize that they can actually hinder the work of God's protection over their life by not understanding that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear God, that reverence God. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 34. So you can see it with your own eyes. Verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now this word fear, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it can either mean terrorize somebody or reverence. And this word is the reverential fear of God, which means that you revere God so deeply that you only want to do what your purpose is here. You want to obey him, and therefore you are encamped round about with that divine protection that can keep you from the evil one. Because we do know that the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, how can he devour? Excuse me. He can only devour those that don't know that their angels that have been assigned to them are encamping round about them, and they aren't living with that faith constantly wherever they go, and they always let the Lord lead them where they go. So we want to put our angels to work. If they haven't been and you've wondered, why did this happen? We can learn so much about God's protection by what he has set in place. First and foremost, he made it very clear it is for those that revere God that actually have this active participation of their guardian angels. So we want to put our angels to work. If they haven't been working 24/7 for us, we want to make sure that we allow them. You might say, well, God gave me an angel, so why do I have to put it to work? Well, he gave you the Bible too, but you have to put the Bible to work. And one of the orders that put an angel to work are when you verbally declare these things, when you know you're going into a situation that could be a potentially very dangerous situation, and or even the unknown. It's always good to know, first and foremost, that the Holy Spirit of God goes before us. He's the one that quickens every move we make, every decision we make, and then where our feet go, and the timing that our feet go. Because when we are in the palm of his hand, we're under the shadow. We love Psalm 91. When we're in that secret place, we are under his protection. And I believe as we see the day approaching of the return, we're going to see more things go on that will probably make us more grateful that we know these things and we activate them. So prayer is the vehicle we use to realize receiving the blessings of God for our lives. And it takes humility. Humility is not degrading ourselves. It is going to the Lord and acknowledging who he is. I'm going to be sharing some things as the message goes on. Ironically, Julene talked about Brother Hagen. Well, he was really my kindergarten teacher in the beginning. He was basically my pastor in my beginning years in the 70s. And so I'm so grateful for so many things that he talked about. And he did talk a lot about angels. He was very aware. The other thing that the Lord reminded me of as I was listening or reading an article, it was one of those two things, was how much work Kenneth Hagin did in California. I don't know if you're aware of this. He's ministered in Long Beach. He ministered in Redondo Beach. He's ministered up the coast in California. And I may send you over a couple of these videos that I captured, and you can hear him talk about some of these things that he's done. He laid a great groundwork in the state of California. Now, we should be encouraged that our forefathers that laid the groundwork, what do we come and do? We want to make sure, just like planting a garden, we don't let weeds come in. We don't let the adversary take away what God established in this part of America or in other parts of America where maybe he has sent us to go and to establish things. But what is humility? There a lot of people have a mixed understanding of what humility is. There is a true humility and there is a false humility. And the true believer can discern the true humility and false humility. True humility is not being forced to be humble. And it's not being forced to do something either. It's with a trusting heart that humility visits us. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that is the way we humble ourselves. We trust him, that he has, first and foremost, brought us here for such a time as this. While a lot of people in the world are wondering, why am I here? Then we humble ourselves before him and trust him to reveal to us what is our part. And as we spoke yesterday, even on the call, and as we've spoken through LEGH, we need to know in this hour, what is he requiring us to do? Where is he taking us? You know, I've thought about the military outreach that and first responder that God has called us to do. But I was aware that the family outreach really hadn't been developed. We've had a lot of encounters with men. We've met some family, but not really deeply. And so I was sharing, I think, some of this last night, but when I had a phone call with this U.S. Marine wife, and it was basically about our dogs and giving them some wisdom with working with their puppies, I didn't realize at the time that when I started talking about some spiritual things, that she had actually put me on speakerphone so her husband, the U.S. Marine, could hear me. This is God beginning to open doors, doors of utterance. Sometimes we don't really realize, how is the door going to open for me to bring truth to somebody, a part of the kingdom of God? Even like those little, I'm looking at these little coloring books that I have to give to different people. I just shipped one up to Washington for my granddaughter. And I gave one to Patty and Irene. I want Irene to have one to give to her granddaughter. But it is a way to begin to visit the little ones. But not only the little ones, when an adult is around the little one, it gives the adult an opportunity to sow these truths into a heart. And I always value having the opportunity to sow into somebody's heart. And I believe that today, as we pray, each one of you are going to be praying for your families. This is something that God has us on assignment for. And he's going to quicken you on a specific way to pray after you hear the message, because he wants to open eyes of understanding. And sometimes he will do that through visiting our loved ones in dreams or sending a laborer that will happen to say something that maybe you wanted to say, and then that opens the door for you to say more. There are so many ways the Holy Spirit wants to reach people. But also, we can actually pray for our loved ones and for others that the angels that have been assigned to them will go forth and watch over them. Don't you want your children always safe? Now, maybe they don't know how to activate or don't even know they have an angel. It's good to let your kids know this and to give them a little bit of understanding, because how many times do people go and deal with situations, even our first responders, and they think they're on their own? See law of that one. Just think about that. And they're taking every bit of courage that they have. They may not even know Christ to go into these things. What a great equipping. Now, people might say, well, we have God. What's the big deal about angels? Well, we're going to read about them and understand that God made it a very important matter to assign every human being an angel. And I think he didn't do that by accident. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what we're doing today. We're taking God's yoke upon us and understanding our own divine protection in this day and how we activate this protection and keep it activated. So when he said to take his yoke upon us and learn, this yoke is really pure humility. When we take the yoke of Christ upon us, it's not supposed to be, okay, I have to do what God says. That's not being yoked. That's not the type of yoking that he's talking about. It's yoking with Christ and sharing in the work that God has on this earth. And it should be a joy as we yoke with him and he leads us into all vast kinds of scenarios and situations to bring the good news to people and to help people. It is a submission. The yoking that we're supposed to have that Jesus is talking about is a submission to authority, the authority of Christ's yoke that was not just imparted to him, but we share with him. Isn't that wonderful? When he rewards us one day, he's going to reward us for what we shared with him, because none of the things that we did and will do for Christ, did we do it apart from him? Because we're told that those that didn't do it by the leading of the Lord, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In other words, I never was yoked together with you. You were doing your own thing. And this is why I've always been so passionate for people to know what the call of God is on their life. Because when you really know what the call of God is on your life, that means you have yoked with Christ in that call. And he will be there for you every moment of the day. The Holy Spirit in you will help you. You'll never be apart from Christ in you. And then he will bring an angel or angels, a host, whatever you need to be able to do it. This kind of yoking is the difference between being controlled by a taskmaster and being yoked alongside the Lord. There's a lot of people that'll say, I've just, had a hard day, and they just go on and on and on and on. They've just been yoked by a taskmaster, and maybe they did some good things, but will they be rewarded for this eternally? Only if they were yoked with Christ and being led to do it. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103, and we'll look at verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Now, how many of us would agree we don't always excel in strength? There may be some days you don't feel as strong as other days. Well, that's one way to make sure you have yoked properly with Christ so that he can strengthen you in your inner man. And your inner man, the Holy Spirit of God in your spirit, will release the strength into your physical body. I believe this is what God wants, especially our first responders, to know, especially if they feel tired. You know, those that have been out and they've worked hard. And those of you that know Christ and you know this in a measure form, you know that sometimes you're being called upon to do something, and then suddenly you didn't realize you thought you're gonna go home and rest, and you're being called into something again. I know this as a minister doing long hours sometimes with people, that I stay in that yoking with Christ so that I can have the extra strength. It's the same with when you're raising children and maybe they weren't feeling good and you did an all-nighter with them. Anybody remember those days? You needed strength. So we want to make sure that we know this so clearly that we move forward with Christ in this day, knowing that nothing will be impossible with what he is asking us to do. So he says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word hearkening. You know, we hear the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Well, here's a new maybe revelation for you of what hearkening looks like. It says, who do his word. That's what they're doing when they're hearkening. They're hearkening. They're heeding the voice of God's word out of yours and my mouth. If we wonder why we're not having certain things happen, many times it's because we have not allowed the words to come out of our mouth by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when we do, then that host that has been assigned to us will hearken. They'll hear it. They'll know exactly what they need to do. You may not know exactly what they need to do, but they will if we will bless the Lord and acknowledge this. God's word says that they are mighty beings who carry out the Lord's orders. And they are ready to obey his spoken words. You know, I think about the military, the highly trained military. They're always waiting, when they are on duty, they are always waiting for the hearkening of the command for the day. Right, Rich? They're always waiting for the orders. And this is where the civilian, many times, that is not equipped spiritually, don't take this serious. We are a soldier for Christ, and therefore, we should be hearkening to the voice of God every single day. And therefore, when we speak the inspired words, the rhema words, the speaking word right now that God gives us, we allow the angels that have been assigned to us to do their job. This is why when I think about that pastor that I knew, it said an angel appeared to him with his arms crossed like this and said, give me something to do. And he said, I want this person to be at church the next week. And every one of those people showed up. He wasn't praying against the will of God. He knew as a minister by the Holy Spirit that they were called to his ministry. This isn't just pulling out any old command we want. He was unctioned through an awareness by the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? He saw through that manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that he was lacking something in his prayer life to help the people that were learning under his ministry. Have you ever noticed that the Bible is God talking? You read the Bible, it's God talking. Now, he spoke through many people, didn't he? He spoke through Matthew, Mark, Luke. He spoke through Moses. He spoke through so many different people. But it was God speaking. That's why we call it the Word of God. We look at the Word of God. It's good to remember this. And this Word that I'm holding up, this Bible, it's the Old and New Testament, this is what we call the Logos, meaning it was the spoken Word of God. It's all down here. If we ever need to know what rights we have, we don't have to look at our constitution, though it's good to have a constitution. We can look at the Word of God to find out what we have. What we have been given as a covenant from God Himself. But the Bible says that there are two words for word in the Bible, and one is the word logos, and one is the word rhema. And it's good to have a review, especially if there's somebody that will listen to this or is listening right now that has never known this. When you just read from cover to cover, unless the Holy Spirit inspired you to read from cover to cover, you're reading the logos, the words that were written. But as you read the Bible, there are times something, it's almost like it jumps out off the page and does something to you on the inside. I would say that's the best way to explain physically that you have just received a rhema, a speaking word. Many times we're saying, Lord, what do I do? When we pray, Lord, you're the Lord of the harvest, send me forth into your harvest field. Well, you know, he sent me to the post office yesterday. I don't just go on errands and check out. I go on errands inspired by the Holy Spirit. Everything I do, I wait for the inspiration, because timing is everything with the Holy Spirit. Because when he is setting up something for us to be a part of, if we go ahead of time, it will bear no fruit. If we show up late, the person may not be there. And I think about walking into that post office at that moment, standing in line, and it was a long line. And as I'm standing in that line, waiting from one little brick, you know, they had little things on the ground because you had to keep your distance. It wasn't until I was standing on the little block right across from the police officer's wife and the woman with the envelope. Timing is everything. And I just pray by the Holy Spirit of God that you will let this rhema word that I'm speaking right now become flesh and bones to you, and that you desire deeply to live like this. Because there's nothing more thrilling than to live like this in your life. Because it's so much more. Look at how all of that worked into so much more than me shipping a package that I was shipping out. It was so much more. When we do not receive rhema from this word, it's like just picking a great book off the shelf that's been just lying there and waiting for somebody to open it up. In Isaiah, we're told that no weapon formed against us will prosper. It's important to know this. No weapon. I will tell you, every single human being has an adversary. The Bible says it. He said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he said, resist him steadfast in the faith. The only way that we can stay in a resistant place with our own adversary is to be in the faith, not the spoken word of God, but the speaking word of God that tells us in the moment what we're going to do, so that we don't think that we can just say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, no weapon formed, and some people do that. They just start speaking it over and over and think if they just speak it a whole bunch of times or speak it really loud, it's going to make them safe. No, it's when you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit. And this is why when you have a relationship with the Lord and you ask him, just give me your words. Just show me what it is I need to read today. Show me what it is I need to hear today. Who is it I need to pray for? What is the prayer? and He will. When we speak in agreement with God, the angels are given the right to operate and respond to God. Isn't that exciting? Does that excite you? That you actually, when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit's leadings, that you are given the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, to activate divine protection, divine leadings, divine guidance. You know, God can use people as an angel. Now, don't get me wrong, but has anybody ever said, "You're an angel" to you? Well, we are messengers, and the Holy Spirit does send us. I was an angel. I was a messenger yesterday in that post office for that woman to get that legal document someplace when she knew she had something so important to go do, but this was important. So what did God do? He used me as a messenger. So a messenger may be a literal angel, but it could be you being used by God as a messenger. But when we talk contradictory of the word of God, we tie the hands of our angels. They're always listening. You know, we say, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to..." Well, what are they hearkening? They were hearkening to the glory of God at the birth of Christ, weren't they? They're always hearkening and listening to the voice of God. When the angel visited Daniel, he said to Daniel in Daniel 10, verse 12, if you want to turn there, you can look at that. If there's ever anyone that needed an angel, it was Daniel. So Daniel 10. Verse 12. Let's give you some context, since I already read it in context. Let's look at verse 11 first. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright." Who was speaking to Daniel? You can just say it whether I can hear you or not. It was an angel speaking to Daniel. "And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Well, don't be surprised if sometime an angel does speak to you that you are trembling. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Daniel had an angel assigned to him to bring his words to pass. But here he tells him, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. See, a lot of times people are praying for somebody's soul, or they're praying for a situation, and they're wondering, why isn't anything happening? Do you think Daniel must have been wondering that? He must have been wondering that, or this angel would not have appeared. And I believe the angel was trying to help him so he didn't cancel out his prayer. And this is important. If you're praying for somebody's soul, don't sabotage that prayer because you haven't seen the change yet. Because there is a work going on in the realm of the Spirit for every single soul to be saved. And we are very much a part of it. We are the laborers being sent. Though angels may precede us, or they may follow up after we have gone into a situation. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. He didn't mean stupid. But if you have never had a visitation from an angel, and you were in a strait like Daniel was, he was probably speechless. If you can recount any moment you've ever had with the Holy Spirit of God that left you speechless, maybe you can have a little bit of an understanding. But here, he just humbled himself, didn't he? He just was overwhelmed by the answer to his prayer that seemed to his prayer on why his prayer didn't seem to have been answered. And I believe that this is an encouraging word when you're praying for somebody's soul, and maybe it's been years, and you're like, what is going on? Well, have a talk with the Lord about it. Daniel was willing to talk to find out what is going on here. Because we don't want to hinder the work of God and cancel out all the prayers we've prayed for somebody because we don't see it in the natural yet. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grisha shall come, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with thee in these things but Michael, your prince. And for those that like a good thriller story, you can read the rest later. As I was reading that, I was thinking of our military first responders. This is one reason my passion has always been to see them come to know Christ. Because there's going to be times they're going to need to call out for reinforcements. Right, Rich? They're going to need. But until then, will the Holy Spirit find an intercessor? Just like he found in Reese Howells during the reign of Hitler? Will he find the intercessor that can be used to help in this day? We need to realize that angels are doing far more than we realize at times. I was reading a little bit from Hagen, and I watched a little video because he's talked a lot about angels in his life when he lived on this side of heaven. And his son made a comment. He said, when my dad started in the traveling ministry, we experienced hard times. He was good at exercising faith for healing, but not for money. While in prayer, the Lord ministered to Dad about finances. After explaining that God had put the wealth and resources in the earth for his people, Jesus told Dad to do three things. And I believe these three things are going to strike different people today. Number one, use your authority in the name of Jesus to claim what you need. Use your authority that God's given to you. In my name, it says, they shall cast out devils. So in the authority that Jesus has given to us. Number two, he said, bind the devil and command him to take his hands off of your money. So, for those that need that, and you can teach this to your children. You can teach this to so many people. And number three, tell the ministering spirits to go and cause the finances to come. Maybe you never thought about that. But why do you think you have an angel? Just to follow you around? He is there to bring the supplies that we need. He said Dad didn't have trouble with the first two, because he already knew about authority in Jesus in binding the devil. But he had a little difficulty with ministering spirits because he had never been taught about angels. Yet he began to do it and things changed. These three steps aren't limited to finances. We can do this with anything. We've learned faith and confession. Many of us have learned about faith and then speaking. But many of us aren't putting our angels into operation. Just like that pastor who had the angel appear and said, give me something to do. He is not telling us to pray to angels, but we can give orders just like you would give order to an employee to do something. We hear of people binding things all the time, but if we're going to bind, then send the ministering spirits out to help. We need to realize that the Bible talks about suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then we hear about in the scriptures that there, talking about the children, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. This is in Matthew 18:10, if you want to look at it, and Matthew 19:14. I want you to think about this, that we're supposed to always go to the Lord with the heart of a child that's not so sophisticated they think something's too difficult. Unless they're spoiled as children, spoiled meaning their faith is spoiled because they weren't brought up correctly. If they are brought up correctly, which I brought our children up to know this, I cannot tell you all of the situations where my children saw angels, both of them, where Jesus appeared to my son and spoke to him, And that was pretty overwhelming. But I taught them, and because they weren't sophisticated, they believed me. So I believe today the Holy Spirit wants to unsophisticate us. If there is anything within us that has hindered the host that has been sent on our behalf as a ministry or as individuals to help us fulfill what God has ordained for each one of us to do. We read about in Acts 12:7, if you'll turn there, the story of Peter. Look at what this angel did. It says in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Look at what happened here. He's sound asleep. And the angel had to wake him up. Not only wake him up, he had to get him up out of bed. Now, how many of you have ever had a situation where something happened and you jumped up out of bed like an earthquake, right? And you're like, whoo! Do you think maybe an angel was there to assist you? Especially that last one that we had. How many of you flew out of bed in California and were on your feet? This really brings it to life, doesn't it? And who could take the chains off of Peter? Peter couldn't have done that, but the angel had a master key. He had miraculous power. Amazing. Look at Acts 12. And it's important, I believe, that the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring adults dealing with angels and not just children, to encourage us to allow the heart of a child to live within us as adults so that we can have everything that we need working with us and for us to fulfill everything God has for us to do. So Acts 12, the part I'm going to read, and you can read 3 through 19 later, it says that Peter was put into prison by King Herod. But the night before his trial was when the angel appeared to him. Was that timely or what? He didn't come the day of the trial. He got him out of there before the trial. What do you think happens when these things happen to the bystanders? What about Paul and Silas? When they were in prison, what made the earth shake enough to open the prison doors? You don't think angels were involved in that so that they weren't killed by what would appear to be an earthquake? And remember what they said to the jailer? Don't be afraid, we're still here. You know, the Lord could have told them to get out of there now, like he did Peter, but he didn't. Why? Because God knew that something within the jailer's heart could receive. And they brought him to Christ. It's amazing. So we can learn to order our ministering spirits to go and minister for us as an heir of salvation. Now, I'm not saying go and just parrot me, but let the Holy Spirit work this work in you. Let him show you that you have more with you than are against you, because there are people of old, if you go through the scriptures, in fact, if you have a pen, you can write some of these down. Acts 8:26, It's the conversion of the Ethiopian that involved angels. Acts 27:33. Matthew 18:10. That's with the children. Psalm 91, which is one of our favorites. Psalm 34:7. And Psalm 37. That's the one where it says that the angels encamp around about those that fear him. And deliver. Deliver. Why do they encamp around about you? Why would you need protection, Rich, as a policeman? When you are being surrounded by those mobs, you need the protection for your own deliverance. While you're trying to protect people, you need to be protected. This would be a great message to share with those that serve. So we put our own angels to work by saying the right thing, and we hinder them by saying the wrong thing or not saying anything. Each person today is going, if you haven't, to activate their angels or angel. You may have more than one at one time. Each person is unique. But from birth, the Bible says, we have been assigned a ministering spirit. I know, and I've shared before, I have seen a host of angels that are over this ministry. And it's been amazing to continue to keep them actively involved, especially when I'm out doing the work of God, the protection of God. So I hope this inspired you today to realize that maybe there was something within your spiritual walk that needs to be fully put into place. Don't think just because you're not in ministry as myself or Miriam or Richard or people that are heads of things that you don't need ministering spirits. You all do. Every single one of us. Your children do. I think it's a good time to maybe have a little angel story time with your children. Maybe help them to realize, oh my goodness, you have given me this, when they're going about doing things. When Tom learned to drive, I remember thanking God that his angels would go with him. And I gave him a little keychain with a little, that the Lord goes with me whithersoever I go. So, praise the Lord for his great and mighty work.